Welcome to part two of our interview with Lewis Proud about spontaneous human combustion. And thank you for supporting the program. Let's continue the conversation. And we're talking about spontaneous human combustion. You detailed in the book a bit about a case that almost combines the two. Poltergeist activity causing fires to erupt almost spontaneously. So can you talk more about that in some detail?
Yeah, absolutely. So there was one particular case that I deal with in quite some detail. That's called the Great Amherst Mystery. Mm-hmm. It's a poltergeist case dating from 1878 to 1879. It took place in Amherst, Nova Scotia in Canada. And it occurred around a 19-year-old woman named Esther Cox. And there was a man named Walter Hubble. He was an actor with an interest in the paranormal. He wrote a book about it called The Great Amherst Mystery. That's where the case gets its name, of course. He was initially very skeptical of the case. He had previously investigated spiritualism. He'd found a lot of evidence of fraudulent mediums. So he thought he was going to basically defraud this case by investigating it. And he went and stayed with the family. And he came to believe that there was something genuinely paranormal occurring. But Esther Cox was, sort of a typical poltergeist agent. She was apparently quite jealous of her older, more attractive sister, Jenny. So she was a little bit frustrated. She wasn't really necessarily that troubled, but she was more or less kind of the black sheep amongst her siblings. And that's something we find again and again in poltergeist cases. But there was all sorts of very weird things that happened. Basically, the activity broke out one night when Esther complained of there being a mouse under the covers. And they looked and there was actually nothing there. So this kept happening again and again, night after night. And it's one of those features in poltergeist cases. The activity starts off very, very small. And in some cases, people claim that they feel as though there is some kind of creature, typically a mouse or something like that, under the covers of the bed and that sort of thing. It's something that pops up again and again. But Esther started to have, basically she had sort of these kind of fevers and that sort of thing. So she seemed to be suffering from some kind of illness. And apparently her body swelled up, etc. And then the swelling went down and there were apparently some psychokinetic effects associated with her illness, if you like. But basically the activity escalated. It became more and more intense. There was got to the point where, the family was really kind of very much bothered by this activity because the entity was apparently doing such things as banging repeatedly on the house, on the cottage. It sounded like someone was basically attacking the place with a sledgehammer, that kind of thing. And, there were rapping noises on the walls, etc. And also apparently they entered into communication with this supposed entity. And generally what happens is the entity will rap on the walls and then they'll devise some kind of code, like two raps for yes, one rap for no, that kind of thing. So apparently they started communicating with the supposed entity, and it started to threaten to burn down the house. And that's when things got really, really scary. And all of these fires were apparently just erupting in various parts of the house, and they had to, run around trying to, put out these fires, etc. And they were very, very scared, worried that the actual cottage would literally just go up in flames and they'd lose their house. So that sort of thing started to happen. and also there were other things as well, where apparently there was a message found scrawled on the wall, which said, "Esther Cox, you are mine to kill." So the supposed entity seemed to be very much targeting Esther, and apparently she was harmed, well, not necessarily harmed, but she was sort of more or less attacked by this entity on a number of occasions. It almost seemed to be very much out to get her. And Walter Hubble, as I said, he investigated all of this activity. He wrote a book about it. He observed a lot of these things firsthand. And he found, too, that the activity seemed to vary in accordance with a 28-day cycle. So it would become more and less intense in accordance with that 28-day cycle, which seems to indicate that maybe it had something to do with Esther Cox's menstrual cycle. So there could have been some kind of sexual component there. And in fact, it turns out too that the activity occurred after Esther had experienced a tremendous psychological shock. She'd been dating a young man named Bob McNeil, and apparently he had tried to rape her at gunpoint. So it was just a sort of a few days after that that the activity occurred. So that does seem to indicate that it was, you know, there was some kind of sexual component here, and it was related to her subconscious mind. But nonetheless, certainly the fires are a very interesting element. And that's how it sort of ties into SHC. That's why I really kind of looked into this case in quite some detail, because of those so-called paranormal fires. But nonetheless, yeah, it's hard to explain the case just as a result of RSPK.
Sure.
Because the very fact that the entity sort of attacked and harassed Esther indicates that, you know, that there was some kind of something external occurring. The fact too that it was it acted in such an autonomous, independent fashion as well indicates that maybe there was an entity involved in to some degree. So it's a very mysterious case, very interesting case, and I explore that in quite some detail in the book. But yeah, the paranormal fires, that's a very, very interesting phenomenon. As I said, it seems to tie very much into SHC, poltergeist fires and SHC. There is definitely a connection there.
Another area that you talk about in the book that is intriguing to me is the possibility, maybe, that some of the occurrences of SHC involving ball lightning. Now, ball lightning is something that many may not be super familiar with. Why don't you explain that a little bit in greater detail, what it is and how it may occur in your home?
Yeah, okay, yep. So really the reason I discuss ball lightning is because it's one possible explanation for SHC. But it's a topic that needs to be appreciated, that is best appreciated within the context of, well, really sort of ufology, because there are many, many cases where, people will see these objects and they display such weird characteristics, and in some cases too, the object can be quite large. There is such a thing as giant ball lightning as well. So I think that it's a good explanation for, you know, quite a significant percentage of so-called UFO sightings, which really just means that there's an object that is unidentified. but basically, ball lightning is something that occurs. It's generally happens in association with thunderstorm activity. And basically, people will see these strange balls of light. Sometimes it's described as like a ball of fire, a ball of light, ball of fire, that will just suddenly appear. Generally, the object will just it's a very short-lived phenomenon. It only seems to stick around for maybe, a few seconds or something like that. Generally, it sort of explodes, can explode quite violently. It can occur, of course, in a whole range of different colors, orange, red, yellow, white, etc. And sometimes when it explodes too, it will give off like a, not necessarily even when it's exploding, even when it's just sitting there, it can give off a, distinct odor, which is sometimes described as like ozone, burning sulfur, etc. But yeah, as I said, it's a very, very short-lived phenomenon. Around 5 to 10 seconds, is generally how long people will see it for. Mm-hmm. But it can, as I said, the weird thing about ball lightning is it has all these unusual characteristics that seem to more or less kind of contradict or very much challenge the laws of physics. So it's been observed to do all sorts of weird things, like pass through walls and ceilings, leave holes in panes of glass, materialize inside aircraft, squeeze through keyholes. It's been known to bounce repeatedly on the ground. It can also enter homes via the chimney, can burn and damage nearby objects, including people and animals. It has been known to, of course, kill people and animals and simply injure them as well. So it's a very, very weird thing. Most theories suggest that it's some form of high-density plasma, which is basically, plasma is known as the fourth state of matter. It's basically like an ionized gas.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, the very fact that a ball of plasma can exist in that kind of bubble form, scientists find it very, very hard to explain that, because there would need to be sort of some kind of electromagnetic field or something keeping it contained within that kind of bubble shape. And of course, they've tried to reproduce ball lightning in the laboratory with varying results. They haven't really managed to certainly create something as spectacular as what people observe in nature. They've created like plasmoids and that kind of thing, balls of plasma that will basically just, it's very, once again, very, very short-lived.
Sure.
So there have been experiments to try and replicate it, but, really to try and we could be also be dealing with a whole range of different things as well. There could be many, many different forms of ball lightning. I think it's important to understand that as well. But there's all sorts of cases, I suppose, if you want to talk about SHC, that indicate some kind of link between ball lightning and SHC. I suppose I should point out just first of all that, yes, ball lightning has been known to harm people, to burn people, etc. So sometimes it can give off a fair bit of heat. In other cases, people will say that there's no heat, associated with the object. just clearing my throat here.
Sure.
So there's a few cases here that indicate some kind of link between ball lightning and SHC. One of the most famous cases was reported in the April 1961 issue of Fate magazine by an American reverend. It was named Winogene Savage. So according to Reverend Savage, the brother of one of his friends was awoken at 5 a.m. By the sound of his wife screaming. He followed her screams to the living room and apparently saw his wife laying on a rug on the floor, and her body was burning fiercely. And apparently hovering above her was a blazing ball of light. And he tried to put out the flames and was badly burned in the process. And then neighbors came rushing in. They tried to put out the flames using buckets of water, etc. Apparently the lady, this woman was died shortly afterwards in hospital. And one other thing that's mentioned too is that her clothing was destroyed by the fire. But the rug beneath her suffered no such damage. So once again, we're talking about a very localized fire. So that's a very strange case, the fact that there was this apparently this blazing ball of light was seen hovering above her body. So there's another famous case here from 1978, a more recent case, where there were five mountaineers. They were camped at an altitude of around 3,900 meters. This was in the Caucasus Mountains in Russia. Apparently, they were attacked by a floating yellow blob. That's how they described it, what was described as an intelligent form of ball lightning. Apparently, this object made its way into their tent, and then in a very deliberate, methodical fashion, it's basically dived into the men's sleeping bags, and they were burned horribly in the process. Apparently, they were screaming in pain. And the men were rushed to hospital by helicopter. And apparently, the injuries that they sustained were basically described as worse than burns and consisted of chunks of muscle actually basically hanging from their bodies, so sort of torn from their bones, more or less.
Yeah.
And one of the hikers actually died from the incident. So there's another case there where this strange object is seen that was in fact described as a form of ball lightning that resulted in these men receiving these very, very severe burns. So once again, that kind of indicates that there is some kind of connection there between SHC and ball lightning. There are other cases as well. Even the Mary Hardy Risa case, there's an interesting detail that's not really that widely discussed, but basically It was a few days after the incident, the police received an unsigned letter, and it had a so there was a note that basically said it came from a supposed witness. They said that they saw a ball of fire come through the open window and strike Mrs. Reeser. So the alleged witness never actually came forward. So we don't know. It's hard to know, of course, whether or not that was just a you know, basically something they just came up with to try and sort of I don't know, basically, you know, sort of just a hoax,
sure,
or whether it is actually something that happened. So there's a few cases there that sort of indicate a link. There's also the Jacqueline Fitzsimon case as well. This is a case from 1985. She was a 17-year-old student in England. She was standing in the stairwell it was Halton Technical College, talking to her friends, and they observed her clothes just suddenly burst into flames. They helped remove her clothes, but the intensity and duration of the fire was such that she died later in hospital from pneumonia. That was some 15 days later, so the burns were quite severe. She had just been, before that, she'd been in cookery class. The explanation is that she must have come in contact with like a gas cooking ring or something like that, and then it caused her clothing to smolder and then sort of go up in flames as a result of the draft in the stairwell. So that's the explanation that they came up with. But there's a very weird element to this, a very weird detail that emerged later. Apparently, a couple of students actually saw like a it's basically like a ball of light. They saw it appear in midair over her right shoulder, and then it fell down her back. And that at that point, she burst into flames, and she actually said, "It's gone down my back. Get it out." So once again, there's a strange ball of light was seen in association with that case. So yeah. Same, of course, as the case from Fate magazine. So there's a few little details here that indicate that there could be some kind of link, but there's nothing really very concrete, I suppose, to indicate that, you know, ball lightning is responsible for SHC.
Louis, it's been a very intriguing conversation. I think after having this, we're still left with more questions than answers, but that seems to be how it works with anything in the realm of the paranormal. So it was a good conversation then. Thank you for talking with us today on the program.
No, you're very, very welcome. Thanks for having me on the show. And if people want to check out the book, of course, it's available on Amazon, Book Depository, etc. So it's called Borderland Phenomena, Volume 1.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Louis Proud about spontaneous human combustion. Thank you for being a supporter of our program and keeping the Grave Talks on the air. It could not be done without you. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.